heard my heels clack all too loudly on the hard wood as I pondered the ship's library. Admittedly, I had never been terribly subtle when announcing my presence, but the library was unoccupied, so it was hardly a problem. No book had ever judged a soul, no matter how loud their shoes were. For that reason, I suppose, that I should have liked books. However, I wasn't here to read. I simply wanted a place away from the petty affairs of the passengers, to ponder over the case I had before me. A young heiress had nearly been killed by a falling chandelier the night before. Now, 24 hours later, her would-be killer still remained at large. I needed to find them, and fast. The ship reached port in 4 days, and then any low-rate criminal on board could flee to wherever they wished. Unfortunately, I was out of good leads. I did interview the girl's husband, and I couldn't rule him out as a potential suspect. However, all the suspicions in the world meant nothing without proof, and the only clue I had was a damn severed rope. My only solace was that a certain other detective seemed just as lost as I was. I'd seen him earlier that day, moping about while he tried to interview passengers. He had to know by now that they wouldn't tell him anything useful. Such a pathetic fool. Well, unlike him, I knew somebody who might be of a bit more assistance. Generally, I didn't like to call in favours, especially from men. But, given the circumstances, I was finally willing to make an exception. I left the library and climbed down several flights of stairs to the lower-class cabins. My presence immediately attracted some unwanted attention, but I ignored the calls. If anything, I appreciated the working class's bluntness after dealing with the far more entitled propositions of rich men. And they were kind enough to let me pass, at any rate, which was much appreciated. I wandered down a few hallways before I finally found my old friend playing cards on the third-class deck. I shouldn't have been surprised. The fellow was the best damn card shark in the city, so much so that most just referred to him as the gambler. Not the most honest profession, to be sure, but at least it kept him fed. I'd worked with him on a few cases before. The fellow was a cheat, there was no denying that. But he did always seem to know who was running from a debt, and he was always willing to tell me. For a price. I'd wondered why he had taken his talents across the pond when I saw him board 2 days before, but it hardly mattered now. I had more important questions to answer. Since the heiress's husband had told me that the girl was more than a pretty face, I wondered if the gambler might know her. After all, she wouldn't have been the first spoiled little girl to find herself on the wrong side of the tracks. He grinned as I approached and motioned for me to join his game. I sighed. It would be useless talking to him there. The deck was crowded with fools trying to bet their lives away. I needed somewhere more private. So rather than joining, I asked if he'd do me the pleasure of accompanying me to the library. He chuckled and reminded me that as a third-class passenger, he wasn't allowed up there. But I smirked and told him that I'd bet that they would be willing to bend the rules just this once. He shrugged and followed me. Thankfully, he was polite enough to ignore the whistles as I led him away. When we got back to the library, I glanced him up and down and asked if he knew the heiress. He grinned and asked what it was worth to me. I raised my eyebrows, but refused to look excited. I told him that he'd better not be lying about having information, or he would deeply regret it. However, he seemed unbothered by my threat. He just shrugged and repeated that he had details on the little miss, but he sure as hell wasn't going to give them away for free. I grumbled. Normally, I wouldn't have minded paying up, but my little vacation had all but dried up my pocketbook. I didn't have a dime to my name, and even if I did, I'd rather spend it on a good bottle of whiskey. But I knew that the gambler was still as red-blooded as any man, and as they say, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I glanced at the deck of cards in his hand and told him that I would play him for the information. He shuffled the cards and eyed me carefully. I could tell that he suspected that I had something up my sleeve. We both knew that he could manipulate any card deck in his favor, and there was no reason that I would agree to play a game that I was sure to lose. But curiosity got the better of him. He asked what I'd be betting, seeing as I was strapped for cash. I smirked and whispered, "My body." He licked his lips, and I knew that I had him right where I wanted him. I told him, "Here's the deal, darling. We'll play a simple game of high card. For every round that I win, you answer one question. And for every round that you win, I'll do whatever you want. Sound fun, sweetie?" He nodded. I gave him a wink and told him to start shuffling. He sat down on the other side of the table and let the cards fly over his fingertips. Always one to impress, he added a couple flourishes for effect. I resisted the urge to roll my eyes as he dealt out the first set of cards. He flipped his first, Queen of Hearts. How fitting. I smirked again and turned my hand over before he could touch it. Three of Clubs. I lost. Such a surprise. I sat back in my chair and asked what he wanted. He puckered his lips and asked for a kiss. Well, at least the bastard was starting off easy. I leaned across the table and put my lips to his. He tasted good, but I kept it short. Might as well leave him wanting more. We had a lot of cards to get through. For the next hand, he dealt himself a jack and me a five. I guess he didn't see any point in making it close. Fine by me. I winked and asked again for what he wanted. He replied, "Kiss me like you mean it." I gave him my best smile and walked around to his side of the table. I tilted his chin up to look at me and gave him a stern glare. I told the deer that I would do whatever he wanted, but I fully intended on doing it my way. Without warning, I gave him a hard slap across the face. Then, before he had time to react, I pulled him in for a kiss. This time, I let my mouth linger until I was sure that the sting in his cheek was gone, more than long enough for him to know that I meant it. When I returned to my seat, he stared at me in surprise. I raised my eyebrows, daring him to argue with me, but the lad only gave me an amused wink and dealt the next hand. He got a king. I got a seven. But this time, before he could say a word, I removed my blouse. He gaped at me, but I just laughed. "What? Not what you wanted, darling?" I asked. He shook his head, unable to take his eyes off my chest. So I dealt the next hand for him. With another wink, I held up a 10 and a 5. I knew that he didn't have to guess whose was whose. I leaned over the table and stared down at him. Once I got a good look at his lap, I smiled. I could see his beautiful cock starting to grow hard through his trousers. I whispered, "Want me to take care of that, sweetie?" His eyes remained fixed on my chest, but he nodded. So I crawled onto the table and pulled him towards me. I put his hands on my chest just to give a taste of what he'd been craving. Then I pulled him into a deep kiss and let my tongue taste his. Despite myself, I enjoyed it far too much. It had been so long since I enjoyed the touch of a good working-class man, and he seemed more than happy to indulge me. Unable to hold myself back, I slid across the table and into his lap. I let him keep teasing my breasts while I planted kisses all along his neck. Then I moved my hand down to feel his growing bulge. I slid my hand into his trousers and stroked it a few times. He was already so hard. good. At least my job would be easy. I gave him one last kiss and then pulled a set of handcuffs out of my purse. Without a word, I stood up, removed his hands from my chest, and cuffed them behind the chair. The dear lad had more than gotten his fill by that point, and I needed to repay my debt to him. He gave me an annoyed glare, like he wanted to challenge me. So I hit him across the face again. "Your game, but my rules, sweetie," I reminded him. I kissed him again before he could argue with me. Thankfully, he knew better than to risk challenging me again and leaned into my kiss instead. "That's right," I teased. Then I left another trail of kisses down his neck, and this time I undid his shirt and let my lips wander further down, so I could enjoy his chest. He moaned in delight, and I heard the handcuffs clank behind his back. I knew that he wanted to touch me, but he already had his chance, and that wasn't part of our bargain. I reached my hand into his pants again, and I laughed. His big, beautiful cock was still so excited to see me. Well, I could make it even more so. Slowly, I unbuckled his belt and slid off his pants. He moaned in eagerness, but he would have to wait. My fingers wanted to play a little game first. So I ran my hands over his sweet, delicious cock, letting my fingers feel every inch of him. He felt so good, so pliable beneath my touch. I ran my hand back and forth over him as he squirmed. I laughed. He wasn't the only one who knew how to stack a deck in their favor, and right now, he was mine to do what I pleased with. I couldn't resist torturing him a few moments longer, so I kept on playing with him as I teased his neck and ears with my mouth. He moaned in excitement, but I wouldn't give in until I knew he couldn't take it anymore. Finally, I took pity on him. I gave him one last kiss and then slid my body down to his feet. Then I started to kiss up and down his shaft as he gasped in delight. I could feel him growing harder and harder with every touch of my tongue. Once I made sure that I kissed every single spot, I finally put his cock in my mouth. I started slowly, letting my lips slide further and further down his shaft. I wanted all of him in my mouth, nothing left untouched. Once my mouth was full of his cock, I gently moved my lips all the way up to his tip, and then back down again. He tasted incredible, so I kept repeating the process as I felt him get harder and wetter. I knew that he was barely holding on by the time I started bobbing my head, but I'm sure that it was well worth the wait. My mouth more than ready for him, I gripped my hand around his shaft and started to bob faster, down and up, adding just a bit more pressure each time. He knew he was getting close. I felt more of his juice fill my mouth and his body started to shake, but I didn't let up. I did have a debt to pay after all. I shoved his cock deeper into my throat and started bouncing on my knees. I stared up at him with wide eyes and dared him to come for me. He was so close. I had to hold on tight as his entire body started to shake. I just needed to push him a little further. And then he finally exploded. His body writhed with passion as my mouth filled with his sweet, delicious cum. As he cried out in joy, I let myself drink up every last sip. I gave him a moment to calm down before standing up and grabbing the deck of cards from the table. I shuffled through the deck and picked out the Queen of Spades for myself. I always preferred her to the Queen of Hearts. Then I slid the Two of Clubs over to the gambler. He stared down at it. I smirked and held up my card. "Looks like I win this round, sweetie. Now start talking." He looked like he wanted to argue, but I put a finger to his lips. "I wouldn't push it, darling. You're lucky that I like you. Otherwise, I would have dealt that hand the second after I put you in those cuffs. So, answers, please, or else I'm happy to leave you here with your pants down. Who knows, maybe some silly little housekeeper will find you before morning. He seemed annoyed that I had gotten the upper hand, but I didn't care, as long as he told me the goddamn truth. Thankfully, he quickly accepted defeat and relayed to me everything he knew about the heiress. Turns out, the girl had gotten around quite a bit. The gambler claimed that she was known for her petty thievery. She often used her status to get into places that took great pleasure in keeping out the riffraff. Once inside, she'd accidentally slip a couple high-price items into her purse and walk out. The rich had too many frivolous knick-knacks to take any notice, so she was free to sell them off to any counterfeiter she liked. Of course, the girl didn't need the money, but my guess was that she enjoyed the rush. After all, being Daddy Dearest's perfect daughter had to get a little boring. And what's more exciting than crime? However, her exploits still weren't quite enough to explain who would have been trying to kill her. It was possible that one of her previous deals had gone bad, and it was possible that she made a promise that she couldn't deliver. But with no new suspects, I needed more information. And unfortunately, a blood-curdling scream from the first-class cabins told me that I was about to get it.